Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows laundry day should be easy. Achieve maximum versatility with a dryer door that swings open either way, making load transfer from washer to dryer a breeze. Plus, with LG ThinQ, save time by controlling your washer remotely. Shop LG, America's most reliable line of home appliances, today at Lowe's. Based on independent reliability surveys 2021 to 2024 and select major appliances as compared to competing manufacturers offering full appliance lines. See associate for more details. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Exclusions apply. Valid 6/18 through 7/9.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1217. This is your host, Danny Pena. There's no Pete, no Paris, but I have my beautiful wife with me here joining Rihanna Manuel Pena. Hello, Rihanna.
Hello, Danny.
Hello. And did I introduce myself? Danny Pena. Yes, here.
Yeah.
For this episode.
Yes, I'm joined by my husband, Danny Pena.
Yeah. Look, it's we took a couple of days off. You know, went on vacation. We got back. So, you know, we were a little bit refreshed. So got to get used to this right away. So how you been, Ree?
I've been great. We've been traveling, as you said, getting a quick little vacation to relax and recharge. And we can't say that we stepped completely away from our daily lives because we took our Steam Decks along with us and have been talking about games all weekend like we usually do. So it's good that we get a chance to sit down and record an episode for Gamertag because we have a lot of thoughts about what we've been playing recently.
Yes, we're going to be talking about Saints Row. We went to Las Vegas thanks to the Tinsley, her team, OC Deep Silver Volition. They all invited us to attend this event. And that was a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about it here. I know there's already previews already up, and also make sure to check out the latest episode of What's Good Games. I know you girls talked about it too, right, Ree?
We did. We did. Andrea and I did a hands-on in co-op mode, and I know you and the X-Play crew did single player, so it'll be interesting to get into this conversation and see what the differences are between our experiences. But yes, thank you for the shout-out for What's Good. Our latest episode, we talked about our hands-on impressions from our co-op time with Saints Row, and yeah, it'll be cool to hear your thoughts now and compare them.
Let's do it. All right, but first, head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You also can find us on any podcast app. Just make sure to search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. And follow us, subscribe, and also post your review. If you would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's go all the way through. We talk about this Saints Row hands-on preview event that we got to check out. Actually, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't 100% at first. Like, okay, is this gonna be a good, you know, good game? Because the last game was okay. I was not a big fan of it, but the previous ones I love, really loved Saints Row. Have you had a chance before to play the series? Any of the games back then or no?
a few hours here and there, but I've never played through an entire game, barely even an entire mission. So I'm fairly fresh on the Saints Row franchise, which I've known since talking to the executive creative director that it's a good time to get in, right? They're rebooting the franchise with this title. And, you know, come August when the game comes out, they're telling a new story. So there's some characters that I'm familiar with just in my little bit of exposure to Saints Row, like Johnny Gat or, you know, of course, the Saints themselves. And it's really taking it back to the beginning and starting over before the Saints ever really came together as the organization we knew in the previous iterations of the franchise. So it's a good time to jump in and start off with a fresh, brand new story, a fresh cast of characters, which we can talk about because they are very colorful and, you know, very sweet and endearing. They feel like people that you would maybe know in your own life. You know, they're all roommates. They're struggling to make rent. They're constantly complaining about the cost of everything and their student loans. So they're very, very recognizable characters for sure. And you really do start to build a relationship with them as you go through the narrative and begin the beginnings of what will eventually become the Saints.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of stuff that we can't talk about when it comes to the story. But, you know, there's little things that we do that we can mention here on the podcast. Like one of the things is, all the characters, talking to the executive producer of the series, of this game actually, he mentioned that they really focus on things that people could relate to now. So like, let's say phones, smartphones, right? Apps, reviewing businesses online, you know, like little things like that. They all could relate to what you do now, right? So that's one thing. Now, my question that I have for you, you know, I'm used to playing games like GTA and also Saints Row, but it was more of in the city instead of like a place like Las Vegas. This is going to be very, very new for Saints Row. Is there something that you could relate to that? Do you like the new design? Something that is very, very different than a typical, you know, city like New York or like LA?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting with the desert sort of Las Vegas-esque setting because there's so many different types of like micro cities or neighborhoods that you can explore. So there are a few missions that, you know, are heavily involved with the other people around you, like the one you mentioned where you go to a business or an establishment, you give them a 1-star rating and then a bunch of thugs come out and try to take you out for tanking their review score on the algorithm, right? And then there's other missions where you maybe go a little bit further out into the outskirts of the city, less population density, and you're going to do some sort of helicopter mission where, you know, you're picking up a cargo and maybe it's quite legal, maybe it isn't quite legal, and dropping it off somewhere. And of course, you know, people are in pursuit and shenanigans ensue. At one point, I actually picked up a truck and then swung it at a bunch of people who were chasing me with the helicopter. So there's a lot of fun you can have both in, you know, high density population areas and then also a little bit more remote. And I think it's a really great setting for that contrast and in different types of missions as you know do side quests and level up and things like that while you're playing around in the open world and not focused on the story.
For me, I will always go do the side missions. I didn't want to do much of the story. I did like a little bit because I don't want to, you know, find out all these stuff from the story before the game comes out, you know. So but yeah, I did a lot of the side quests. I did that, the ones that you mentioned, the reviews. I tried to do the one that you fly around the city. Have you tried to do that one too? Or no? The wingsuit. Mm-hmm. You tried to do that one? That was really interesting too. That was fun to try out.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting because as I mentioned, myself and Andrea Renee, we played co-op. And the way co-op works for Saints Row, at least right now before launch, is once one person does something, everyone in the party is getting that same credit. So let's say somebody finds money in a stash, everybody gets that money. You know, it's duplicated across all the accounts. It's not just the person who's physically there that picks it up. And same goes for experience. So what was really fun to see, is Andrea was doing a wingsuit challenge while I was running around finding stashes of money. And we were able to sort of divide and conquer and get more done because we were in co-op where, you know, she got the, you know, whatever achievement or the goal reached of scouting out a place in the wingsuit mission while I was collecting money for both of us. And then we both met up later at the gun shop and bought new weapons. So it's really cool the way that they've made this co-op integration, because there really is no drawback or there's no downside to splitting up and doing different things, except for the fact that you can't see your friends doing it. And it's really nice to see that kind of co-op structure, because a lot of folks will want to play this game with their friends. There are actually some mechanics that are currently only available in co-op, and I can talk about that a little bit later when we talk about like the silliest things that we saw on each of our playthrough. But I find it that it's really nice to see the game design really just respecting your time and making sure that whatever you spend your time doing in the game with your solo or in co-op, that you're not missing out on anything that your friends want to get up to at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know if this happened to you, Rhea. There was like really minor bug issues, but that's, again, this is a very early build. It's not the real-time version, so hopefully those things are going to get fixed by the time the game comes out. But yeah, playing this for 4 hours, it felt really fast. Like the day just went super quick, and I'm like, oh man, I did manage to do a lot of the side quests. And one thing I didn't have the chance to do, because I know other devs noticed this too. Nobody actually went to the store to either get like attachments for their vehicle or like upgrading their skills or anything like that. It was more of like, let me do the quest, let me do the story, continue doing that, right? I know you girls took your time to do that, right? Mm-hmm. For you and Andrea. I didn't, and my team either. We were just like just doing missions, and I was just capturing gameplay footage, man. But how was there like a major difference once you start either buying new weapons, attachments, or skills for your character?
Yeah, so the way that works is you have and I'll speak specifically to weapons because we didn't get too far into the car customization storyline because it does mm-hmm. require some story missions. So for the weapons loadout, you have a weapon wheel and you have, you know, an assault rifle slot, SMG slot, handgun, grenade, what have you. And what I found a little bit frustrating actually is that my handgun slot was specifically only able to be swapped out at a gun store or back at your crash pad with your roommates. So I picked up a taser at the gun shop because, hello, that sounds like a lot of fun. And
yeah, yeah.
I grabbed the taser. And so we were going on another mission. We decided to jump back into the story at that point. And I, you know, was shooting things. We're riding on top of cars, you know, getting into all of the shenanigans. And I go to pull out my handgun to, you know, maybe pick off a few people who are further away since I was using a shotgun primarily. But it was my taser. And I couldn't swap it while outside in the open world. I had to actually go back to the crash pad to swap out the taser for my handgun because I was stuck using a taser anytime I ran out of ammo for everything. And the taser does require its own ammo. And ammo pickups are fairly frequent. You know, whenever you defeat an enemy, you can run across whatever you see on the ground and pick up some ammo for most of the time. However, I did keep running out of that taser ammo because, you know, hello, you hit one shot with the taser, it takes a while to reload it, and it doesn't really kill anybody. It just kind of freezes them for a second. So I did find that a little bit frustrating, and that was something that kept driving me to go back to my loadout stash in the apartment and keep retooling my my setup. But I do think it's interesting that you can pull a lot of really different types of weapons fairly early on in the game. For instance, one melee weapon I swapped out for a hatchet, which again contributed to one of the funnier scenes that I had in my playthrough. But yeah, I thought it was pretty accessible. You know, once you unlock a gun store, once you unlock the car upgrades with the story mission, you just go back there. And there's a pretty generous fast travel setup within the game once you unlock it. And otherwise, you can just, you know, hop into a car or jump on a bike and move across the city. The map is really easy to read. They give you very good directions, you know, like a normal GPS in these open world games that we're used to seeing set in a modern setting. And yeah, you can just find your way and go to that upgrade place, whether it be weapons or vehicles, and figure out when you want to get next. And go do a mission if you have to in order to get more money or more parts in order to do that upgrade.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I did enjoy was the soundtrack. While I was driving around the city, I was always had the Cypher radio station on.
Oh, okay.
And that one is more, that one has like more like the 90s hip hop, so like MOP, DMX, Tribe Called Quest, like a lot of classic iconic soundtracks there, man. So what about you? Like, were there any stations that you were listening to? Because I know there's like an old school station, and there's also like a new hip hop for like now.
Yeah.
Also station, right?
I like the new hip hop station. There was one reggaeton song that came on. I was like, okay, what is this? Like, I want to write it down and find it. But nice. I found a lot of times when I was doing a lot of my shenanigans and like, you know, being chased by the cops or whatever, I really liked putting on the rock station and just going like, yeah.
Yeah, right?
And just rocking out. But it's fun that you can switch pretty quickly. And there's always a good song in any of the stations. It's really, really well curated.
Mm-hmm. And also, depending on what's happening within the story or the area that you're located at, you hear like breaking news. You hear people like, similar to like previous Saints Row and like Grand Theft Auto's games. It's very, very similar. So that part was really, really cool. I really enjoy this game. Like, I can't wait to try this out. I was very curious when, after the event, you mentioned to me, oh, there's exclusive missions that's only available co-op. You're not going to see that at all. Like if you play single player. So like, without getting into too deep, like, what are the type of missions that's available only for co-op that's available there?
Yeah, so I don't know about missions, at least not for the final game, because as you mentioned, this was a preview build. And mm-hmm. When during our play time, Andrew and I did have a couple of game-breaking crashes that are being fixed, as far as we know, from the executive creator director. However, the one thing that I do know is going to be in the final release is the pranking system, which is only available right now in co-op, where you initiate a prank, right? You're going to play a prank on one of the people you're playing with. Let's say, for example, it's to shoot three enemies in the junk, right? In the crotch. You're going to get three crotch shots. And if you pull it off within a certain amount of time, you now are loaded with the ability to prank one of your co-pilots. So Andrea did this, and she pranked me, and I turned into a mailbox. And I don't know how else to describe it. Like, I literally turned into a walking sentient mailbox, and I had my hatchet out, and I was literally running through the streets, and you could even hear the sound. It was like, air, 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 as my little metal legs were moving, and I'm like chasing this cop, because of course I was doing crime, and I'm like running after them with the hatchet above my mailbox head, just flying through the air, because I don't have an arm, I'm a mailbox. And I got into a police car and started driving it away and leading the cops on a chase in their own car as a mailbox. So I gotta say, it's by far the funniest part of the game that I experienced, and being in the co-op play out. But what was really actually even more impressive is how funny the dialogue in the game itself can be.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's
I was laughing out loud that whole time, and to the point where people like who were next to us, I'm not sure where they're from. I think they're from one of the LATAM outlets. We didn't get a chance to meet everybody, but they were looking over and being like, oh, that's funny. You know, like, I could tell they were enjoying our playthrough just as much as we were. So I will say, even though there are some things that are currently exclusive to the co-op experience, like the pranking system, you know, the roadmap is still open as to how they may incorporate that in single player, or maybe even, you know, with audience interaction. Like, they're open to making those changes long term, because the team has made specific choices to ship the game where it's at right now and avoiding crunch in order to just pack more features in. And they do plan to do a pretty extensive free DLC plan. So if you get this game in August and you start playing, you're going to see more options for your character in the boss factory to add hijabs or more prosthetic limbs or any other types of outfits. You're going to see more integration with co-op. You're going to see maybe some of the things coming from co-op possibly into single player. They more mission types. They really do want to give this game long-term support. And I really applaud not only Volition, but Deep Silver for supporting Volition when they went over to them and said, hey, we need more time and we want to make sure we do this without burning all of our resources out, all of our teams mm-hmm. out. And they agreed. So, you know, you're definitely going to get a lot of game once you get into this and be encountering new things and new updates over time for a while.
Yeah, yeah. We had a conversation. A lot of people don't know about this, but we had a sit down with one of the devs. I was just hanging out with Rhee and Andrea and went to this room. The dev came in with PR and we were just talking, just, you know, overall about the game.
Eating chips, having a drink.
Having a drink. And then the conversation started getting really deep about crunch time, and they wanted to delay the game. They didn't want to just release it on a certain day, you know, all that stuff. And not only that, he also mentioned about, you know, working with a lot of different organizations for accessibility features too in the game too. I was like, oh man, that's pretty cool. Like, I know they worked with Able Gamers. There was a couple other more that they mentioned too. I love GTA, but I think GTA is more like a serious type of game, right? This one is off the wall comedy. It's just fun.
So what was what was the goofiest thing that you encountered in your playthrough?
Oh, goofiest? I'm trying to remember if there was anything. Well, there was stuff in the story that I can't talk about. Because there is a part where your character, you will see like a meter that's already full and you could do like a super power move. There was one where he kicked one of the enemies and it looked like he got hurt. And then he did like the karate move, the Karate Kid move.
Oh.
I don't know if you've seen that one. Yeah. I was like, oh, that was pretty funny. Like the way it happened, he like basically tricked him. And the guy looked at him and then that's when he did the karate move. That was like, that was funny. I was doing that a lot. Like every time my character will like has like the meter ready for like a special move and my health bar is like really low, that's when I always use it. I would use that as like a backup for me, you know. But it was easy for me just doing that. Also switching to like different weapons, you know, if I want to like an AK or like a smaller gun, you know, that type of thing. So what about you? Was there anything goofy besides the mailbox monkey? That one sounded really funny.
That was by far the zaniest moment. One of my special mm-hmm. moves that I actually picked up, I guess learned is the mechanic in the game was I actually like, you know, got up and close with an enemy and then hit my special move button and I like knock them out, stuff a grenade in their pants and then like Superman throw them, like chuck them over my shoulder and then they explode into all of their friends.
See, that one I heard from multiple people, but I never got an opportunity to do that. That sounds really, really funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there any, you know, like, you know, like a game like Crackdown where there's like orbs all over, you know, was there anything like you were just driving around or running around, like anything collectibles? You were like, oh, I want to collect these. Was there anything like that for you too? That's something that was very addictive for me when I played like a game like Crackdown.
I personally didn't look for collectibles and I don't know what the density of them will be in the final game. Again, we were playing on a preview build. However, I was doing a lot of the car chase and motorcycle challenges where you try to like flip your motorcycle in the air and stuff. And what's really great is, again, going back to the setting, this mountainous terrain that you have sort of outside the city has a lot of ramps that you can like ramp off the side of a cliff and then try to flip your bike. I did a ramp which looked incredibly high, right? I'm like at least, you know, 50 feet in the air, let's say. And then I start turning my bike to try to flip and I realize I'm just a little bit short. And then as I land, I literally land right on top of my head. The bike goes flying across the street and then hits a car. The car crashes and I'm just laying there like in pieces.
It's
pretty funny when you wipe out. But I was trying to do like bike and car trick challenges. That was that's what took up a lot of my time while Andrea was actually on task and focusing. But like I said before, I still got the credit for doing the missions, even though I was goofing off the whole time.
That's good. Yeah. Your thoughts about like the voice acting in this game for you?
Yeah, I thought
I think it was good.
I thought the voice acting was incredible. And when I say like the game is laugh out loud funny, a lot of it is the writing and a lot of it is the delivery of the characters, both the NPCs or the people who you're interacting with, and then also your player character, your boss. And what was interesting between my time and Andrea's time is that I picked a very typical, you know, Northern Atlantic U.S. voice, and Andrea picked a British accented woman. And
oh, she did.
We had different dialogue. So there will be times when she'd say like, oh, I love, or cheers, or whatever. Sorry, I'm butchering an accent. Whereas my person would say something different. And Andrea and I had the opportunity to interview one of the lead UX designers, Kaylin. She actually mentioned that if you pick like the Southern accent, they'll say like, oh, it's no worry, sugar. Or like, oh, that's okay, honey. Like, oh, aren't you so sweet? And literally have different voice lines depending on what the situation is, even for scripted dialogue, because of the accent. So I think it's really interesting because, you know, if you're playing, you know, with one character and your friend's playing with another, you'll probably hear different versions of the lines delivered. And again, a huge testament to the writing team and also to the actors who are bringing these characters to life, because they are really different. And, you know, you can tell they each have their own unique identity, even within the different player character options.
You know, my character, I didn't even notice, but my character is actually a Southern.
Oh, yeah. Like, you has did like the a Southern? Southern
accent, the Southern one. Yeah. So when I started playing it, and, you know, I was capturing and I had like my headphones off. So I was like talking to the team and, you know, capturing. When I put it on, I'm like, wait a minute. This is straight up Southern. I was like, but it was cool. It was really, really cool. Like hearing the accent and everything. And I think the voice actor from the male side also did a pretty good job with that too, man. So yeah. Yeah. I didn't know there was a lot of different other ones, like a British one too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very curious to see, was there anything, because I didn't even notice an option where a lot of these games already have it, where you could change the audio to like Spanish. I wonder if they do have it there. I don't know. Cause there was a Latin America media outlets there too, mm-hmm. at the event. So very curious. Yeah.
That's a good question. And another, just a quick shout out for all of the acting and writing and just bringing life into these characters. The roommates that you pal around with, that you go do crimes with, they are really, really compelling characters. And even in the short bit of time that we got with them, I really grew to care about their relationships with my boss character and wanting to see, you know, how they progress, how they grow together. Like, Kevin is husbando, as we say on What's Good Games. He's super hot. He never wears a shirt, and he's lots of tattoos, and he cooks. So he's definitely going to be a big fan favorite, I'm sure. But there's also, I believe her name is Nina. She's sort of like the ringleader. She makes sure everybody's in the right place at the right time, sort of like sets up all of these heists you do. And then you have Eli, who is the lovable nerd, right? He's always listening to podcasts. He has his little glasses, his vest and his bow tie. And, you know,
he works, he's on really crack. Cool.
In the safe and everything, but he's also like, you know what, we might as well just, you know, boost this money to get rent. Like, I just really love him.
Yeah, he's the Donatello of the crew.
He's the Donatello, right? For sure. But you really like grow to get close to them, and, you know, even after the first time you go through a mission with them, like, you really do feel like you have a great sense of their personalities and what's important to them and how they feel about your character. And so it'll be really interesting to see how that develops throughout the course of the main storyline.
Yeah. You know, I checked out your character,
mm-hmm.
and cause you were just showing it to me, but it's exactly like you have the purple hair and everything. Yeah. So like creating the character features, cause I know there's two versions. There's one of the Boss Factory, which you could also download that through the Epic Game Store and everything too there. But this one was more of like, I got the game, let me just try this out. How was the process for you? Because for me, I did the whole quick character create, because I just want to just get into the game. But once I receive this game later next month, I'm definitely going to take my time with the character. I want to build like a really cool Danny Pena character, you know. So how was it for you?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, if you know me, you know I can spend a lot of time in character creators. So the fact that I got in and out as quickly as I did, I'm honestly impressed with myself. But as soon as I saw, you know, big purple afro space buns, I was like, oh, well, duh. You know, and any hair color you want, they give you color sliders for a lot of like the hair and makeup options. For your clothing, you unlock different clothing as you go throughout the game. And I'm sure they'll, you know, have different DLC packs and things for the cosmetics that you can add later once the game is released and for future updates. But it was very easy to do. I will say that the options aren't overwhelming. Now, there's lots of things you can do to customize your character. Like, my character definitely looked like me. Andrea's character had, you know, red haired pigtails, definitely looked like her, same exact glasses that she wears all the time. It was easy to see ourselves in those character creators. And as I mentioned before, like, they're doing future updates for hijabs. They have prosthetic limbs. Like, they're really trying to make this a very inclusive character creator tool. Now, of course, they can't really change the height of a character, for instance, because, you know, the game is coded to see the world in first person, so it needs to be at a certain height. But they do have a lot of really great options for you to make your boss that whatever you want them to be. And it makes it easily approachable because there's only maybe like 7 different things you can change. But the depth of the customization within those 7 things is pretty impressive. And so there's lots of ways that you can tweak it to make it either look like you or look like your ideal boss, even if that doesn't look anything like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, mine's going to be simple. Beard, bald. Let's go.
Good. It's a good Godfrey.
It's a good Godfrey. Yeah. So anything else? Because we're going to wrap it up here. Anything else besides that? Like, look, I had a great time with the game. I can't wait to play the full version because there's a lot of things I really want to test out. And I can't wait to test out co-op with you, Ree. We could play online, you know, home. Now, the negative thing, I have to mention this because I know people are going to be asking. There is no crossplay, so there is cross-gen.
There's no cross progression either. So if you own the same game on different ecosystems, so let's say you have it on PC and then you also have it on PlayStation, for instance, you will have 2 separate characters that you'll have to level up and go throughout the story separately.
Yeah. So I think my version, because originally I was going to get a PC version, but now that you're getting an Xbox version, I'm probably going to go with that.
Yeah.
The Xbox version, right? So we can at least play. If I buy the PC version, I'll buy it. But as like review, I think it will be better for me like that. So
And from what we were talking to the team about, it seemed like it's definitely something they wish they could do, but that they can only make so much game and so much time. So it unfortunately wasn't in the plans this time around. But I think it is going to be a really fun experience, and just, you know, figure out where you and your friends want to play, and you will absolutely have a good time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Ree, I just want to say thank you for joining in. If you'd like to promote, you know, What's Good or socials or what?
Yeah, check out What's Good_Games on twitter.com or our podcast on any RSS feed. Just search What's Good Games and you'll find us talking about all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, make sure to subscribe and post your review too for their podcast.
5 stars. We work really hard. A low review, as you know, in running Gamertag Radio can really, really affect your position in the algorithm. And so it really helps a lot. Even if you don't have the time to leave any words, at least give a few star ratings. That would help us out immensely at What's Good and definitely at GTR as well. So go ahead and rate us.
Yes, definitely. All right, everyone. I just want to say thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1217. We'll be back next week with more content, more goodies. Hopefully we have more surprises in the future. And of course, I'm going to be talking about my children's book, Danny Loves Video Games, in the future. More details about that. So stay tuned. All right. Until next time, we're out. Thank you for listening. And please send us your feedback on socials about this impressions of Saints Row. All right. We're out. Peace.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.